Good morning. What I'm presenting here is part of my master's research, and I'd just like to start out with, I've heard several times over the past few days that we have this test, and the key now is learning how to use it. And so that's kind of what we're looking at, is in our corn sod rotations in New York, how do we use this test? So, and the basis behind this is we've seen several times in the past couple days is increasing fertilizer costs, instability in fertilizer costs, and you know, increasing knowledge of environmental impacts is leading to this need to credit all sources of N. And in a state like New York, where we have a large dairy industry and most of our rotations consist of a corn sod rotation, we obviously look at these two components, but we really want to focus in on the soil N supply. So a little background for New York, work done from 02 to 04 showed that with the ISNT, a 0 to 20 centimeter sampling depth works fine, and samples could be taken outside the growing season, which both of these results show promise as this being a more user-friendly test than the PSNT, which is currently used in New York. Furthermore, it was found that in order for the ISNT critical value to really predict responsive versus non-responsive sites, we needed to adjust for organic matter. And that looks like this. So we have a curve here where the higher the organic matter, this is loss on ignition organic matter, the higher the value, the higher the ISNT needs to be to have the site be non-responsive. So here we see above the line would be a non-responsive site. So to continue off of this, over the past 3 years for my master's, this work has looked at validating this curve. So getting a pool of corn N response trials to look at how this curve is separating out responsiveness. So to do this, we had 34 site years. And what I want to point out here is we made sure these are mostly on-farm trials, that none of the sites received manure, because we didn't want nitrogen from the manure to cloud our results. So that was what we keyed in on. And this is just where the sites were located throughout the state. We had multiple years of several of these sites, and we tried to have sites in many of the agricultural areas of the state. So, for this experiment, 33 of the trials were corn silage, which is typical for our dairy rotations. We had four treatments, while we had one corn grain site at a research station which had six treatments. And for our ISNT sampling, the soil samples were taken at side dressing time and analyzed for ISNT. So I'll start with the first year corn after sod. We had 16 sites, and what I want to point out here is across these 16 sites, not a single one of them responded to side dress nitrogen in that first year following sod plow down. So what that tells us that all 16 of these sites should be above that critical value line. However, when we look at them, we see that six of them fell below this line. So they were all non-responsive, but six of them would have been predicted to have a nitrogen response. And this is just responsiveness. We didn't look at economic optimum N rates for this. This is just differentiating a response. So we were a little concerned with this, but we moved forward with, we had a lot more sites. And so we looked at the non-responsive sites we had that were second or third year corn in the rotation. And we had nine of these that were non-responsive, and the test performed very well at predicting these. So then obviously we did have some responsive sites in the trial, and they were both corn following corn or corn after soybeans. And when we look at that, we see it did very well for the, though it's a small data set, for the three soybean sites we had. However, it was only four of the six responsive corn sites that it predicted accurately, but we wanted to take a look at these two sites that were above the line, and we'll start with this one. We'll call it Site A. And here we had an event of Mother Nature that probably had an impact, and that was as I was driving back to campus from this site, which is in the northern part of the state, I received a call that a hailstorm had just come through, so we had massive damage to the site literally within a couple hours after we side-dressed it and took our samples. So that's, we don't know for sure, but we're pretty confident to say that it had something to do with the yield response to nitrogen. This other site, site B, it's clearly well above the line, but we also saw a clear nitrogen response with our yields. So, and the thing we noticed here when we looked at it is this huge variability. And we're kind of looking into the past management of this site now because we think there was something there that affected this. But what I just heard the other day out of Illinois was that they also had two sites that were responsive that were predicted inaccurately. And there they had this huge variability between the replicates and the at the site too, so there's something going on there. So of these 34 trials, I mentioned we had some that were multiple years, and we had 9 sites that were 2 years in a row at the same field, same plots, as first year corn and then a second year corn. And what we saw here for these 9 sites is that the ISNT value really didn't change from side dressing at year 1 to side dressing at year 2. Yet it was much better in year 2 at correctly predicting these sites as responsive. So the question here is, we have these sod credits from plowing down the sod, and why isn't the ISNT picking this up? And well, our hypothesis is that as the sod breaks down, there's this pool of nitrate available to the crop that we aren't picking up with the ISNT, but is benefiting that first year corn crop. So to look at this, we added 2 additional studies in 2007, kind of some preliminary work. Hopefully we can expand this, but we started out with a laboratory incubation with alfalfa. We separated it into 2 components and added these fractions to the soil, incubated it for 8 weeks, and followed this with 6 sampling times over those 8 weeks. So the purpose of this was our side dressing took place usually at least 6 to 8 weeks, if not more, after the sod was plowed down. So we had samples at this time, but we wanted to see what was happening between when the sod was plowed down and we had that first sampling round at side dressing. So we followed this up with a field study as well. We had 3 sites scattered in 3 different locations in New York. All we did is plow down the sod, leave it fallow, and sample for 8 weeks to track this. So I'll start with the alfalfa incubation, and what we saw here was the green line is pointing to the ISNT, the black is the ammonium, and the red is the nitrate. And as previous work in New York was looking at manure release after application, we see the same thing as the ISNT is closely follows the ammonia release peak from that sod as it did with the manure. And then that's followed, as we would expect, by a conversion to nitrate. And what we see with the nitrate is we have this huge pool of nitrate, 4 to 8 weeks out after the plant material was added that was potentially benefiting that crop. So did this translate to the field? And with the 3 sites we had, that was yes, it did. There was a little more variation, and I'll point out the peaks for the ISNT varied, and we're thinking there's soil type differences, moisture differences at these sites, some weather. So we had a variation in the peaks, but we still saw this peak followed by the ISNT returning back to a baseline value as it did in the alfalfa incubation. So by the time, and if we look at this combined, we combined just the 3 sites, we see that by week 5, the ISNT value has returned back to a value similar to where we started before the sod was plowed down. And our sampling was taking place clearly after week 5, where we weren't picking up that peak in the ISNT. However, there was this pool of nitrate there that would benefit the crop. So to look at this, we wanted to go back and look at these first year corn sites we had. So again, we had our 16 sites. There was the six of them below the line. But what we saw in our sod plow down was that if you took the difference between the baseline value and the peak in the ISNT, it averaged out to be around 40 units. So this 40 units, and this is just on three sites, it's not a value written in stone, but just an idea of how much the ISNT is peaked over what we were potentially reading when we took these samples at side dressing. So if we add this 40 units, then we move four more of those sites above the line, and we see a much better accuracy with the first year corn. So that's promising. We feel like we've provided an explanation here of part of why the results were so much different with our first year corn fields compared to the rest of the trials. And what we're drawing from this is that, yes, the ISNT is picking up the ammonia release from the sod if you sample within that first 1 to 5 weeks following plow down. However, this really isn't that practical, since there was variations in when that peak occurred, and just trying to get out there in that time period to sample probably isn't going to work. So instead of trying to take a sample that is going to capture the soil and sod supplying power for just that first year cornfield, and that would only work for that first year, if we take a sample outside of that window, and previous work in New York with manure showed the same thing, within that if you avoided sampling within a few weeks after manure application, what you get is this stable value that's just reflecting the soil and supply for those sites that hasn't really changed much over the couple years we had these sites in the study. And then we have to recognize at this point that if we're just measuring the soil and supply for this first year cornfields, that we still need to credit that sod and add that back in. And based on our data, there was no response to the first year corn anyway, so we're not even recommending we use this with first year corn fields, because we saw no response at any of our sites. So we're looking at second year and beyond, or corn after soybeans, as this being, yes, it is a useful tool for us in New York. And with that, take any questions if there's time.
Thank you, Joseph.
So the fertilization of the sod, and does that matter? I'm not sure about the number of acres in CRP, but I can make two comments, and that with our on-farm trials, with those 16 sites that did not respond to nitrogen after sod, we had everything from basically these run-out grass sods that had been there for 15 years to intensively managed alfalfa that was plowed down after 4 years to return to corn. So we had anything from 100% grass that really wasn't managed to well-managed alfalfa in these sods, and we didn't see a response at any of these sites. And we had the same thing in those three sites that we plowed down. We had two of those were 100% grass. One of them was just kind of an area off to the side of the field that wasn't really even used, so it was essentially just a waste area that had grown up to grass, and the other one was a little more managed grass stand, and while the third was an alfalfa stand that had more intensive management. So we had a variety in that way.
Any
Oh, yeah. Well, that's... So I guess my slide said after that one. But, yeah, you could take... the previous work in New York showed that timing a year didn't matter. And so all I was trying to say is to avoid that 1 to 5 weeks after sod plowdown. Any other point in time before or after the plowdown would be all right. And since it's an 8-inch soils test, which we're using in New York for our, especially with our farms that require CAFO and nutrient management plans, is they're on a 3-year sampling rotation for these 8-inch soil samples for the rest of their fertility analysis, that the sample taken then could be also used to analyze for the ISM.